Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we spotlight key health topics and community needs across the Upper Cumberland. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry. We're faculty at the Whitson Hester School of Nursing at Tennessee Tech University.
Today we're focusing on Family Health and Fitness Day 2025, a national observance that encourages families to prioritize physical activity and healthy living together. Movement and mobility are essential at every age and stage of life. And today we're joined by two local experts to help us understand more. Joining us are Jake Hewitt and Peyton Garrett, both doctors of physical therapy at the Physical Medicine Center of the Cumberlands. They're here to share more about what physical therapy looks like today, how they serve our region, and why staying active is critical for long-term health.
Jake and Peyton, thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting
us. Thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm. So let's start with a little bit of background. Either one, or we can go back and forth. Can you each tell us a little bit about yourselves and what inspired you to become a physical therapist? You want to go first, Peyton?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm from Byrdstown.
Okay.
Didn't really know what I wanted to do. Right out of the gate, in high school, I kind of had an idea. My aunt's a physical therapist.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of saw what she was doing. I played sports and kind of in and out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of decided, hey, I'm going to do this sort of route. Thought therapy was just working with athletes all the time, really. And then I started working at a few different places in college. Went to Tennessee Tech for undergrad.
Wings up.
Worked over at the hospital, actually, at Cookeville Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Saw that it was not just with athletes, yeah. And I really enjoyed just getting to see different types of people.
Yeah.
So applied to PT school, got into Chattanooga, Go Mocs.
Go Mocs.
Go Mocs.
Go Mocs. I went there, too.
Went to PT school there for 3 years, and then I've been out of school, I guess, now going on 4 or 5 years. I don't know. It all kinds of runs together at this point. But
you're an expert. Mm-hmm. They say after 3 years, you're an expert.
That's what I'm told.
Time flies when you're having fun, Peyton.
It does.
Very good. Jake?
I'm from Livingston. I'm Jake.
Yeah? Yeah? How did you get into physical therapy?
My father is a physical therapist, and he started a business. He started the Physical Medicine Center back in 97. And so as a child, we were in and out of that place all the time.
Of course, yeah.
And I, being in and out of there, I also like to talk.
Same.
And so I got to just sit and talk with patients all the time.
And that's an art.
I'm not very good at it, but I do like to do it.
Well, I think that's an art, to be able to sit and listen to people and talk to people.
Yeah.
So
have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And being in there, you got to meet a whole lot of different people. And so I became interested in it. And then I was also, my brother is a veterinarian. And so growing up, we were constantly looking at things. You know, we also hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you clean an animal, you're kind of going through, pointing out different structures.
Yep.
And so we both did the same thing to each other. It was something I got joy out of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I enjoy this. I like talking to people. I like meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
Physical therapy sounds like a good idea. And so after high school, I went to University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Go Mocs.
After 4 years there, I applied to Belmont. And from Belmont, I got into Belmont there and did 3 years. After graduating at Belmont, I'm married a lovely lady. And we moved west, and so I lived out there for 3 years.
I'm sorry.
It was great.
Okay.
How far west?
All the way west to West Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. West part of the state.
Well, I knew what you meant.
West
yeah.
U.S.?
Yeah, just
were
the
you
flat
in Wyoming?
Part.
Okay.
No, West Tennessee
west
is
Tennessee.
A different
environment.
It is.
Different
it
environment,
is.
But it still a. It's still Tennessee.
Are you sure?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where I was at. I was in northwest Tennessee.
Mm. Okay.
And then I finally talked my wife into moving back this way.
To God's country.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's Monroe, where I live at.
Mm-hmm.
So, and been back here. This is year four back here,
okay.
maybe. So.
So you worked out there 3 years before you came back here?
Yes.
Became an expert out there and then came back
to serve the community. I got my feet wet out there.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Got back here, put my waders on.
Yes, you did. That's okay. A great way to say it. I like that.
Yeah.
Got my feet wet, put my waders on. Wait a minute.
So tell us more about the Physical Medicine Center of the Cumberlands. What types of services do you provide? How do you serve the local Upper Cumberland community?
Well, we are a physical therapy clinic, okay. So obviously physical therapy, but that's entails a lot of different things. We see sports-related injuries, post-surgical,
okay.
People not wanting to have surgery, just different pains, low back pain, neck pain, fall prevention. Mm. That's a big one.
Yeah.
People that have spent time in the hospital, maybe debilitated or weaker.
Mm-hmm.
We're an area that we can kind of get them back on their feet. Maybe they can do what they want to do or what they used to do.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot more that goes into it just than the physical side. I mean, we're physical therapists, but there's also a big mental aspect to it, too. We probably see the patient more than anybody does because we see them 2 to 3 times a week, whereas they're just going to see the doctor or the PA or the nurse practitioner like once every 6 weeks.
Right.
So you really you got to focus on building a good relationship with this patient, just building trust with them. Just because they see us so much, they really build a bond with them, and you know the mental aspect to it, and just you know having your mindset that you want to do this plays a big role into it too.
Mm-hmm. So you said the different kinds of patients that you see or that you treat in the clinic. Are there specific conditions or injuries that you guys would say that you see more commonly or more frequent?
Definitely back pain.
Mm-hmm.
80% of the country at some point in their life will experience back pain.
Yes, they do.
So that's a big one. But in general,
as a provider, that's what I see a lot of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's the number one. Well, it's the leading cause of disability in this country.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And so we do see a lot of low back pain. A lot of, I would say, after that, it kind of becomes a mix of neck pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, and then surgical in there. And I would honestly say that it comes in waves.
Mm.
You will see
summer.
Oh, yeah. I don't necessarily know why.
Oh,
it's not seasonal.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
You'll just go through a span of everybody you have coming in's got a neck issue or something going on with their neck, and then it's like
that
everybody coming
in
got a shoulder issue, and it's just kind of
seems like we probably see more surgical, I would say, in the wintertime.
Yes. Especially towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you got people who don't want to burn up the hot months laid up with surgery. Big farming area, a lot of farmers are not going to be having a surgery in the summer months. So, I mean, like I even had a guy that I know that sold all of his cattle to have surgery in the wintertime, had his surgery, and then he was going to buy back in.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
wow.
So, yeah, seems like surgery a lot more in the wintertime than versus the summertime.
And it also goes back to the way insurances pay.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, I've got so much money on this insurance, so much of this, I've met my deductible now, let me go do this.
Met deductible, right. Yeah. Going to just use their benefits while they're there if they can.
I do see, speaking of insurance, also different treatment options that people have to go through in order to get surgery or to get a certain treatment or to get referred to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see, especially for back pain, you know, you'll see a lot of...
I do find it funny that a lot of times patients immediately think that, well, I need an MRI or
right.
I need this.
Right.
And you don't always necessarily need any sort of imaging.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying that.
You might be able to get by with, hey, if we do these certain stretches, all of a sudden you are... I won't say necessarily always pain-free, but if you have something you can manage, you know, without having to take medicine or without having, I mean.
It's making you mobile and
yes.
have a better quality of life.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, I agree.
You know, those imaging studies are quite expensive as well.
Well, we always, I don't know how Peyton does it, but sometimes I will explain, you know, and kind of give them an understanding of insurances. They do it because in terms of costs, that image is so much money, you can come in here 4 or 5 times before right. you paid for that image.
Right.
And then you might have that image and turn around and say, hey, you're going to go to therapy. And it's like, what if we'd have done this in the beginning?
Yes.
You got better. You don't need the
chicken or the egg.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
There's actually even research that says, like, if they have an MRI beforehand, their symptoms even get worse once they realize what the image says, just because they know something's wrong with them. So I try to always do a good job of explaining, at the end of the day, this is just a picture. Like, I'm not treating that picture. It doesn't matter what your MRI necessarily says. I mean, it's good to see it. I want to see it, and sometimes you have to see it.
Right.
But I'm not treating that picture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm treating what you tell me bothers you.
And how much more mobility you have.
Right.
You know, I know when I've had to have physical therapy after surgeries, I mean, you're measuring. You're measuring angles. You're measuring strength. You're, you know, there's a lot of pieces in there that people don't realize that go into just mobility and balance. So, no, that's I agree.
So you have a whole team of individuals at the Physical Medicine Center. So you tell us a little bit about how many providers that you have. You can tell us a little bit about your hours. Do you all work together? Do you have certain specialties?
That's a lot.
I would say there's five full-time at the moment.
Okay.
And then there's two part-time clinicians.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there are definitely those who have their specialties. We've got one that mostly works with geriatrics, fall risk, post-strokes, things of that nature, both neurological, more one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one. He's a newer grad, and he likes to kind of fall into that category as well.
Okay.
And then the rest of us are kind of
We just kind of catch the rest of it.
So do the rest of it.
And you know, if we get with a stroke or if we get with geriatric, it's not that we dislike it. It's still within, but it's not the first thing we choose.
And yeah. But each of you has certain things you like and certain things that you are drawn to.
Definitely.
To treat.
I would say that there are, you know, others that like back pain more than others and neck pain more than others.
Right.
And then we kind of divvy it out. I will say the younger of us kind of choose more of the athletic population if we can.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, how the cookie falls or whatever, however you say it.
It's what comes in the door.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Next segment. Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry.
And I'm Dr. Emily Lee. We're continuing our conversation with Jake Hewitt and Peyton Garrett, physical therapists at the Physical Medicine Center of the Cumberlands. So June the 14th is National Family Health and Fitness Day. So why do you guys feel this day is especially meaningful for a rural region like ours in the Upper Cumberland?
I don't necessarily think it's just always the rural region. Like we as a society are becoming a lot more sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
And technology has come so far that we like to sit in front of it and watch it. And we're not outside playing as much, kids-wise, you know. Especially now that TVs are so – I mean, you I'm not saying you all are older, but you're older than we are.
Mm-hmm. You're assuming that.
I know that.
Oh, I know I'm older than all three of you
but
in this
room.
You can
probably recall when you didn't have a TV in every bedroom.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you had a TV in the living room maybe, and if somebody else wasn't watching it, mm-hmm. you were outside playing.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a TV in every bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phone
and in your
everything.
Hand.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I think that because of that, it makes us a much more sedentary society. And then also food-wise, our choices of food have not been the greatest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that also plays into it. And I think that that's one of the biggest reasons it's important this year, especially in this area.
Mm-hmm. I think that does go more for rural areas. I agree with you on that, Jake, especially with people that have food deserts. I mean, you only have a Dollar General down from my house. I don't have fresh vegetables and fresh food, and I don't have, you know, everything's packaged, frozen,
processed.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's in my community. There is no
And you don't.
I don't even have a save a lot.
You don't have your neighbors growing a garden as much as they.
No, but I do. But not everybody does. You're right, yeah. And that's only in the summer. So I agree. And screen time plays into that a lot.
Yeah, I think limiting the screen time. I mean, you even look at like the local high schools. They're having trouble even getting athletes to play sports now, and filling teams. I mean, just look at. Like some of these football teams, local high schools used to have, 100 kids and try out for a football team. I know when I was in high school, a couple of buddies have told me for basketball there would be like 30, 40 kids try out for the basketball team.
Wow.
Now you've got like 6, 8 kids trying out each year.
Yeah. And going back to the family examples, kind of talk more about that. You know, you talked about the kids and screen time. So what do you suggest for parents as well to kind of model that?
I'm a true believer that it all starts at home.
Yes.
It doesn't. I mean, we are, when I say we, my wife and we've got a little fellow, we are setting an example of what he sees us do now is what he's going to more than likely do later. So I think it's big to start getting to be more active as you can. It's been challenging for us in particular, but I make excuses when I say that. But
I was going to ask you how so. How is that challenging for you?
I feel like it's been challenging.
Okay.
That we've just not been as active as we once. It's trying to find something new. That's the hardest thing, is finding something new that you can do. When we first got married and before we had children, it was a consistent every day, 5 o'clock, we met at the gym. After she's a school teacher, so we'd meet right next door, go to the gym, go home, cook dinner, go to bed. So we were constantly doing. With a child, it changes. So it's finding something new. It's finding something new or finding a different time. I think that's one of the biggest things that as adults we lose track of. How much time did I spend in front of the TV?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I could have sat there and watched out 2 hours of TV. 30 minutes, I could have been up doing something.
Yeah,
and
got to make time. Got to make it a priority.
Prioritizing your time.
Yeah,
you always hear like choose to make time now before you're forced to make time later.
Exactly, that's a good point.
So,
very good.
So, on that, let's talk about prevention then. Talked about routines and talked about modeling good behavior in a family. So, how does regular movement help stop health issues before they start? And I'm gonna have Peyton answer this one.
So there's a lot of different just like diseases that can be prevented just from regular exercise. Heart disease is a big one. Just from any sort of regular cardio type stuff to help lower risk factors as far as weight, BMI, waist circumference, that sort of stuff to help prevent any sort of heart disease. Another big one that I always think of, mainly because my mom has dealt with it a little bit, is like osteoporosis in the female population particularly.
Yep.
And it used to be, I think, kind of the thought that lifting weights and doing that sort of stuff was bad, kind of stigma more to females especially.
Mm.
And older females, and then especially if you have any sort of like bone density issues, a lot of people think lifting weights is not good.
Right.
But those bones crave that stress.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to build, stronger bones from stressing them.
So how often do you suggest to your patients that they do strength training? Because that's what I consider even your own body weight strength training. So how often do you guys tell, and then how often should people be exercising?
Daily.
Daily, okay.
At least 30 minutes a day.
Okay.
I mean, and that's, and if that's not necessarily strength training, but some sort of activity, if that's walking, if that's turning on a YouTube video and doing a little beginner's workout on the YouTube video.
Okay. Good advice.
That would be probably, that would be something to start with. But every other day, if not every day.
Try to rest a muscle group about 48 hours if you can in between muscle groups. If you're hitting, I call it the upper-lower split, That should let you hit.
Okay, now you're going to have to break that down for the old lady in the room.
Upper, lower
split.
So if you're hitting like your upper body one day,
yes,
lower body the next day.
Okay.
Versus the bro split where.
I do not know what this is either.
So that's where you do a whole lot of bench pressing and not a whole lot of anything else.
Okay, bench pressing being just your arms and chest.
Yes, mainly arms and chest.
Okay.
Upper body, upper lower split I think is a lot better because. Mm-hmm. It allows you to hit every major muscle group twice a week.
I gotcha.
Because it's a two-day thing.
Okay.
So you roll back over and you at least get to hit everything twice.
Okay. Do I have to go to a gym to do this?
No.
Okay.
Not necessarily. You have your own body.
Okay.
And your body is a weight.
Yes, it is. Some more than others.
And you also, majority of people have things laying around their home that they don't realize they have.
Good advice, yeah.
I know that we will use dumbbells
mm-hmm.
or we will use bands.
Bands,
you
yes.
You have at home, I'm willing to bet the majority of people have a bag that they've gotten from a store somewhere
mm-hmm.
that they could put some cans in
mm-hmm.
and use that
that's
as
a good idea.
Dumbbells.
You yeah. know, we use cans of soup a lot,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like gallon jugs of water.
Mm-hmm.
There's just definitely things that you can use
at home, including your own body weight.
So I don't have to go to a gym. I need to be working out or exercising 30 minutes most every day of the week. And then I need to be adding in some strength training. And Peyton has told me some new terms, upper, lower, and bro lifts, I guess. Was that right?
Yeah, try to avoid the bro split.
Okay, avoid the bro split. We're going to stop on that.
Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry. Today we're talking with physical therapist Dr. Jake Hewitt and Dr. Peyton Garrett about staying healthy and active in the Upper Cumberland. All right, this is my favorite part, guys. So myths versus truths in physical therapy, you know, related to what you guys see every day. So let's do some myth busting. First up, you only need physical therapy after surgery. True or false? Peyton?
I'm going to go with false on this one.
Okay. Why?
I would estimate that probably over half of everyone we see is non-surgical. Like we talked about earlier, we see so much neck and back pain. General joint pain, hip, knee, ankle pain, shoulder pain, even more than just pain. Sometimes we see, you know, balance,
mm-hmm.
We see a little bit of vertigo, just a lot of different stuff. I would say the majority of people we see are non-surgical,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which we're able to help with a lot of that stuff too and prevent surgery. So definitely not
very
only,
cost effective,
right? You know, more surgical prevention. The new kind of trend right now in medicine is preventing surgery.
Yes, yes.
So, which is great for
mm-hmm.
us and great for the patient if you can prevent
yes.
the surgery because surgery is not always the answer. So good for all parties involved,
mm-hmm.
really. Thankful we have, you know, a lot of good providers around here who trust us to send patients our way and let us try to work with them and get them better and prevent surgery.
What's your favorite thing, Peyton, to treat and to see success in a patient? What's your favorite type of patient?
My favorite thing, I'm going to say what makes me feel the most accomplished
yeah.
when I'm able to help
mm-hmm.
it is definitely like bad neck and back pain.
Hmm.
Just because they're, no one is the same.
Yeah.
Going back to what we were talking about with imaging earlier, I mean, I can have two people come in, exact same MRI. They are not going to respond the same.
Exactly.
So it's almost in a sense like playing a game and getting to the end of it and being able to help them. And just when they come in, like we always, you know, how we doing? Any better? And when you get that thumbs up from a neck or a back, you know, irritated radiculopathy or
something
that. Hands numb,
mm-hmm.
hands no longer numb. It's
yeah.
like, okay,
that
feels good.
It does. It makes you feel like they've listened to you, they
right.
trusted you, and they've followed the process.
Right.
that you have laid out for them for treatment. So,
and it helped.
It did, yeah. And it helped. All right, Jake, you ready? All right. So another myth that we hear a lot is, if I'm in pain, I should rest and not move, avoid movement. Is that true or false?
I would say it's false.
Okay.
But it could be true.
Okay. So when is it false?
Majority of the time I would say it's false. In regards to if you stop moving, usually, especially as we get older, you kind of lose that movement.
Yes.
And especially if you've been dealing with a back pain or a neck pain and you avoid that particular movement, you're going to lose it.
Yes.
And a lot of times the first thing that what happens when we have patients come back in, the movement's the first thing you notice.
Mm.
And so that's the thing you target. And a lot of times, once you restore movement, they're better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The pain is relieved or less.
Yes. And sometimes I think that whatever they had going on had probably on its own maybe resolved a little bit.
Yeah. Time.
Yes. Our bodies are pretty resilient.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it may have resolved, and that stiffness from not using it because is what you're feeling.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And not all the time.
So when would you not move then if I had pain?
Ooh.
Like a sudden pain. Acute pain? I'm thinking chronic pain, acute pain.
You know, honestly, it's always false. I won't say it's always false. Majority of the time false. I would say very rarely true.
Okay.
If there's a fracture, obviously,
right.
You're not going to want to move.
That's a good plug as far as in the case of a fracture, let's say.
So you know, explain what a fracture is to the listeners in the Upper Cumberland.
Just some sort of break,
okay.
Whether it be a full break.
Broken bone.
Broken bone.
Okay.
The cool thing now in Tennessee is we have what's called a direct access law, which means that let's say Jake goes out, turns his ankle at home, thinks he may have broke it, thinks he's done something to it. He actually does not have to have a referral to see us. So he can come in and see us anywhere from 30 to 60 days, just walk right in the door and us see him for an evaluation. And that's where we have to decide, you know, if they're not showing improvement or if it's outside of our scope, we'll refer you on.
Okay.
But it was kind of a big breakthrough in therapy to keep people from having to go through the steps of, hey, I can't get into the doctor until next week.
Yes.
Then I can't get
access
in to see.
Access to care.
Yeah, just having that direct access.
Yeah.
So, you know, anytime.
If a patient comes in to see you, Jake or Peyton, and they have that situation, what I'm hearing is that you can diagnose and then refer out to treatment if it's something that's not in your scope.
Won't necessarily diagnose, but in terms of just say, hey, this is, you know, if we're looking at it like, hey, you might have a fracture, there's a good possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get an x-ray just to make sure. But in terms of diagnosis, you know, a lot of our diagnosis codes are pain in the ankle.
You know,
listeners don't really understand that, but
right. You
know, we're not going to say, you know, fracture here. We can kind of give you a basic. A lot. It kind of goes back to the imaging. We don't have to know. You don't have to necessarily know exactly in terms of mechanically what is wrong.
Yes.
If we can get you better.
Yeah.
You know, if that's an exercise, if that's a stretch, if that's a if we can get you better.
But your assessment skills is what you guys excel at. And I tell, you know, when we're teaching students, I tell students even, you know a lot more than you think you do from your assessment. And what I see physical therapists excelling at is that assessment portion for the listener about looking at it, measuring it, making sure what your strength is. Am I speaking right?
I mean, the more I've been out of school and had a chance to learn more and more the history and what the patient tells you.
Mechanism of action,
I mean,
or injury,
And, you know, if I'm seeing a patient for an hour for the first time, I might sit there for 40 minutes and never touch the patient.
Yes.
Never measure anything. I just listen to what they tell me.
You're being a detective.
And they'll tell you. Most of the time they'll tell you. They live in their body, so they know what hurts.
Good point.
You don't have to ask them what hurts. They're going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, one of the neat things is you'll take in what they tell you, and then you can kind of go back they might not tell you some things, and you'd be like, well, what about this? Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like, hey, he's smarter than he thinks he is.
You're a detective. That you're asking the right questions, you're listening, and then you're using your assessment skills that you guys have honed through experience. Yeah.
One of the neat things, and I didn't notice it when I was younger. You know, I watched my father many a times, didn't notice it. You pick up on even just simple movements, like just simple. When they walk through the door, you're watching them walk in, and you don't realize you're watching them walk in, but you see them walk in. You see them get up out of the chair. You don't realize you're watching them get out of the chair, but you see those things.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody reaches up to scratch their head, you watch the way they reach up to scratch their head. You watch the way they sit there, hold their arm. I mean, there's little things like that.
Walking around in Walmart.
I was about to say, I can't go to the grocery store and not bump my fiance and say, they've got a hip problem.
They got a hip problem. They got a back problem. They're limping. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or seeing someone, like, I see a lot of people come in, hip, knee, and they go to squat. I'm like, have you ever had an ankle issue?
So if a listener sees this in a family member, what would you tell them to do?
Come visit us.
Perfect. Yes. Do you guys have a website?
We do.
All right.
Is
it PMCOTC.com, which stands for the Physical Medicine Center of the Cumberlands. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
And we also have an Instagram, and it's PMCOTCPT.
Okay. Nice. So, the listeners, if you guys see that in your family members, this, you know, not walking correctly or something's changed physically, balance.
Or they've fallen.
Yeah.
If they've fallen, you know, it may not even, you may not think it means much, but it may be they're just not picking their feet up and, you tripped over a rug. There might be a reason that they're tripping over a rug.
Good advice. Yeah. Good advice.
Main caveat there is the only time they can't come to us first is if they've seen a doctor for that issue in the past year.
Okay.
So, you know, if shoulder's hurting, you went to a doctor 2 months ago, you can't come directly into us. You're going to have to get an order for us to work with you far as that goes. But, anytime new issue, we can at least assess you.
Okay.
And Medicare. Medicare can't be direct access.
Okay.
But going back to what he said earlier about the great providers we have in this area, majority of them are going to say, hey, therapy's good.
Let's try physical therapy first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or this is what you need. You need physical therapy for this issue.
So that's good to know. I've learned some things.
I have too. Is it okay if I go with the misinformation question on the last thing? Okay. So we have about a minute left, but I do want to ask you guys about social media and trends that may be more harmful to people, listeners, that they would want to know about. I know we had talked about at our break, we talked about a few things, but is there any specific advice that you would tell listeners to avoid or maybe to try?
I would just say You want to be assessed by someone to you as an individual. I know we talked about during the break. There's no cure all for anything.
Good. Yeah.
And just because you see it on social media and it says this will help this, it might for some, it might not for others. So I would just, like I said earlier, just be leery of free advice.
Yeah.
And try to get checked out by somebody who can just get their eyes and hands on you.
Need professional opinion instead of something off of social media. Yeah. Jake, do you have anything? No specific thing for people to stay away from? No.
I would not disagree with what Peyton says.
Perfect.
However, I will say this. If you do try that, do tell if you end up seeing somebody.
Oh, good advice, yes.
Because that could be used as we know this didn't work.
So we're not going to try
that.
Not
going down that
road.
Or
maybe that made them worse. Yeah, yeah. Perfect.
Jake and Peyton, thank you both for sharing your expertise and for the care you provide to our community. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to Local Matters Health Matters. As we recognize Family Health and Fitness Day, we encourage you to take steps toward better movement, wellness, and family health. Stay safe and stay active, Upper Cumberland.